Blog Talk Radio.
Dynamic Daphne, and I am supercharged about today's episode of the A New Day show. We have some phenomenal guests that's lined up for you. We have from all over the place. So I'm going to tell you who they are momentarily. However, I want to invite you to join us in the chat room that is up live and running. As well, call in. The number to call is 646-915-8166. Again, the number is 646-915-8166. And as usual, our focus on this show is to keep you informed, keep you inspired, and to keep you empowered. And as always, I do my best to bring the best of the best on this platform. People who not only believe in themselves, but they have a great passion and commitment to invest in others. And before I tell you who is hanging out with me in the virtual green room, as entrepreneurs, we need to always focus on giving our best. And I want to share two of my favorite quotes with you this morning. And one is from Sweet Marden, and it reads, "There is no investment you can make which will pay you as little as the effort to scatter sunshine and good cheer throughout your establishment." And the other one, trust and reputation are not discriminatory. They are as necessary in business as the people in whom they reside. So I hope you can use these two quotes as two additional tools that you want to put in your toolbox or toolkit. Well, you notice I said guests today because, as a matter of fact, we have three guests today. On the first two episodes, I have a father and son team, and they've been hanging out with me in the virtual green room. And joining us momentarily will be Mr. Robert Roots out of Florida. Has a phenomenal story, and I'm not going to tell you because you're going to hear his story firsthand. And then second, will be Rob Roots. Of course, it's Robert Roots' son. So, but instead of calling him junior, because you look at the size of this young man, he's certainly not a junior. So then I chose to call him Rob Roots. And he himself, at the tender age of 21, has an amazing story of empowerment. And I'm so honored that they find this platform deserving to come and invest in you, my listeners. Then at 11 a.m. Eastern, we will be joined by a phenomenal woman from Egypt who now resides in Spain. And boy, does she have a story for you. So I tell you, hey, when we deliver here. So I want to tell you to fasten your seatbelts, because the ride is going to be bumpy, but it's going to be worth it. Because you know on here, we only bring the best. The best. The best. So, without any further delay, I want to bring on live to you Mr. Robert Roots out of Florida. Mr. Roots, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Daphne. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. I am wonderful. I know you guys in Florida, you having such amazing weather. So I'm so thankful that you didn't choose to go to the beach this morning. You decide you want to invest in my listeners. So I want to thank you for that honor.
Well, thank you, because I'd much rather have the sunshine that is shining from your radio show than coming from the sky at this moment. Because what you're giving these people is definitely rays of sunshine and hope.
Thank you so much. Robert, why don't you please take a few minutes and introduce yourself to the people. Start at the beginning.
Okay. Well, to begin with, I was born and raised in New York City, and to be exact, in Astoria, Queens, Astoria Projects. And my parents were divorced, and my mother was raising the four of us. My mother is now passed away, 1994, but she was a foster child. And so my mother had to raise the four of us basically on her own. My father, we know my father, he's been involved in our life in terms of we've had a relationship with our father. But in terms of economic support, the responsibility was primarily on my mother. And so when I got to be about 9 years old living in the projects, you know when you're poor, you don't realize you're poor because everyone around you is basically living at the same financial status as you are.
Tell me about it.
And, you know, but because we had relatives and we would go visit people, I would go visit my Aunt Dee Dee, who was my father's aunt, and she lived in a very nice area in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. And so I would get a chance to see how the other side lives.
Yeah, the better side of things.
Yes. And in addition to that, the projects where we live, Astoria Houses, which unfortunately hasn't gotten any better since. In fact, it was on the news over this weekend. There was a killing there, and then there was another incident with the police there. A young man was killed there, so 22 years old. And I believe that I went to school with his mother, which I'm sorry to hear. But it was that same type of environment growing up where you can walk inside your building and get shot. You could just be out and have a disagreement with somebody, and before you know, you go from one fight with one person to a gang fight. So that type of environment. But, you know, what was interesting about it is where Astoria Project sits. It sits on the East River. And just for a little geographical knowledge here, the East River is where the Manhattan skyline sits along. It's the Manhattan skyline is on the East River.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the pictures you see of the Empire State Building, the 59th Street Bridge, the Triborough Bridge, the MetLife Building, that whole skyline, that's shot from Queens, the Queens side of New York.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those pictures are shot right from the projects where I was born and raised. So from my window, even though I may have been inside the projects, the view that I had was the million-dollar view of the Manhattan skyline.
All right. And with that being said, Robert, I want you to stick a pin right there, because I'm glad you took this time to lay the foundation for our listeners to connect. And it's powerful that you were in the project, but you were seeing way ahead because of the structural situation that you were in. So although you were in the project, you were seeing outside of it. And I want you to stick a pin right there, because I want to now bring on Rob Roots Jr. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful. Would you take a few minutes and introduce yourself, please?
Well, my name is Robert Roots. I'm author of the book Falling Isn't Failing, The 5 Keys to Overcoming a Fall and Achieving Success for Youth and Young Adults. Well, I was born in New York City, and a few years after that, my family and I moved to Miami, and that's where we lived. About fifth grade, when my parents divorced, that's when we came to Atlanta. And while living here in Atlanta, I faced a lot of the same obstacles that a lot of other youth and young adults dealt with, you know, problems in school, getting into fights. But the problems always escalated because, you know, I was getting into different things. And what I learned going through all these things was that throughout the situations, I was also into music and everything else. So while I was doing everything, when I was getting to the issues, I was using music as a place to vent. So I started becoming really talented in the music scene. So I was always doing talent shows and always making songs and everything else like that.
But
and
before, Rob, before you go there, I want to talk a little bit more. I want you to introduce and break down more of the child from fifth grade and all those stuff. We're going to get into all the talent stuff later on. But I want you to dwell a little bit more on that saga that took place.
Well, growing up, I've dealt with a lot of fights in school because, you know, everybody's trying to see, you know, you're trying to fit in and everything else like that. So, you know, you get into the different fights with the different people. And me, I was never a person that usually liked to back down from my situation. So I usually got into the fights. And, you know, growing up, I never realized how those situations and those little fights and, you know, becoming, you know, I usually had a little anger issue growing up. So whenever I felt like I was in a situation, I usually lost all my motivation in school. You know, I just stopped doing work. Teachers talking to me, I'm not hearing it. And I never, you know, to me, it meant a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I never thought about how it was affecting me in the long run. So anytime I got into these issues, you know, I was always dealing with the same, you know, I always had the same attitude.
Right.
And it wasn't until, you know, the same thing went on, fights, to, you know, getting suspended, my grades slipping, and this continued for years and years and years until finally a time when I finally reached high school, when we moved down to Atlanta. And when I was in high school, I got into the same situation. And so I guess at this point, I was labeled a troublemaker in the eyes of my administration.
So you live up to the labeling. Can I let you in on a little secret?
Okay.
I'm listening to my own son talk right now because I am the mother of a male who he is now 30 years old. But as I listen to you, I'm listening to my Javonte speaks, because that's the same thing used to happen when he was in middle school. You know, he was rebelling about not having a father. And the same things that you are talking about now is what happened. And he was labeled the troublemaker. Big, tall, black boy coming is troublemaker. So the label they gave him is what he lived up to. We have a caller, and I'm going to see whether the caller have a question, gentlemen, and I'll be right back to you, okay?
Okay.
Good morning, caller. Your first three digits are 201. Do you have a question?
Actually, I just called in for the first time. I didn't.
Are you just listening, or you have a question?
Well, actually, I'm just listening, and then I might have a question later.
Okay.
So.
Okay, thank you. I didn't want to leave you there and not acknowledge you. So thank you so much. You can just, if you have a question, just touch one and I'll be back to you.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. So now I thank you both, gentlemen, for just setting the stage. Robert, as you listen
yes.
to Rob relate his story, and I don't know whether or not you have had in your lifetime this unique opportunity of both of you being in a conversation at the same time on the radio. So, Robert, as you listen to Rob introduce himself, what are some of the things that's going on in your mind?
Well, the first thing is that, you know, I understand the struggle that he faced, because even though I was actively involved in my children's life, when you have 800 miles separating you between Miami and Georgia,
mm-hmm.
well, almost 800 miles,
mm-hmm.
you, being a father and being there for your children is not as easy as it may seem.
That's right.
You know, it's not, it, you know, you can make the phone call, but you can't, you just can't show up at the front door.
That's right.
There's that relationship that children need that is face to face. And so, you know, growing up, I understood that my father was 5 miles from me.
Mm-hmm.
But even understanding how that 5 miles still created a void, I learned through Robert and through my other children, because I have four. I was raised in a house of four. Now I have four. And I've got three boys and one girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he's talking about it, what I would like for the listeners to realize is that, you know, even if you're, particularly because I'm a divorced father and I wrote a book about that as well, you know, that child support is more than money. What I want them to know is that active involvement in your child's life is critical.
That's right.
Because sometimes they may be heading down the wrong path, not because they're bad children, but because as children, they can't manage the crisis that's in front of them.
Right, and there's a lot going on in their emotions when they get to puberty and all of that thing, especially with boys. I mean, mothers, we try to do our best. However, we aren't male, and men... They just wire differently and they react differently. So as Rob, as you listen to your dad say what he say, is there anything that's going on in your mind that you wish would have been different back then?
You know, having a father in the house would have been, you know, a little different. You know, when I needed some things to talk about, it'd been easier to have somebody to talk to. But, you know, it was always easy to talk to him across, you know, over the phone. That's usually how we communicated. We talked a lot. But having him there would have been a lot, you know, a lot easier. And it felt like, you know, probably to have somebody a little closer.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I felt like more when I was by myself, you know, I was like facing it by myself. But I knew he was always a call away.
And you know, I don't know why, but I am going to just say this now. What happened to Robert end up spilling over to you, I mean, with his father's situation. But if I can ask you, Rob, to make that decision today and make the commitment today, that box stops here. When you get into a relationship and become a father, you make that decision that you're going to be there for the long haul. So make sure when you make that commitment, it's with the right person and for the right reason. And you have to agree to disagree and have to compromise for the sake of your family. So there are decisions that we have to make in our lives, and just say, well, the buck stops here. We can't keep the same thing going on and on. Last night I was speaking with a client, and the conversation came up about public assistance. And in some families, you'd be surprised to know how many generations back that they have been on public assistance. And it makes you wonder if anybody makes the effort to say the buck stops here. So, you know, I just wanted to say that you don't have to respond to that. Just a little tool to put in your toolbox. So I want to... Both of you gentlemen are authors, and you're all doing phenomenal work. The father is working to enhance the relationship with the father, and Rob is investing in the young people. So now, Robert, as you look at this product that has evolved, what are your thoughts about Rob?
Well, the first thing is I have to tell you that I'm very proud of him. As a father, I'm proud of him. As a child of divorce who understands the struggle of being raised without the father in the house, I'm proud of him. As a entrepreneur, I'm proud of him because I understand what undertaking that he's gone under to becoming an entrepreneur.
Yes.
I understand that it requires dedication. That requires a level of commitment that you have to use your creativity. And fortunately, he's very creative. That music part of him, that thing that allows him to understand the computers better than me. He's been able to get on some software and call me and say, Dad, it's simple. I'm like, what do you mean it's simple?
Everything is simple for the young people.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's simple for him. So he's able to do that. I'm proud of him that he is able to step outside of his reality and to be able to and be able to hold himself accountable for it.
Right.
And say, hey, this is what I've done. That yes, I had these circumstances, but this is how I responded.
That's
and
right.
And my response to those circumstances is what created the domino effect. And that now I know that I can make a different choice. And so that's what he's done.
That's right.
So he's held himself accountable. So I'm proud of that because, see, many people don't hold themselves accountable. And what you just talked about these generational cycles that they're in, that the buck won't stop until somebody holds himself accountable.
Exactly. That's it right there. If we had ended this show right now, it would have been worth the listening. That is so true because there are too many finger pointing that is going on. That is going on. Now, Rob, as you listen to your dad speak, and I tell you, there's so much of you in him and vice versa. How do you receive what he just says?
I definitely understand what he's saying because, you know, I'm real happy to be able to finally work with him. You know, even though we're so many miles away, we're still able to put together a project together and still find ways to do business together and start something up, you know, father and son.
Wonderful. That, you know, it's such a beauty. And you two are such an influential role model for parent and child across the world. And I, you know, I can't wait to see how people will access this show because this is such a value added. Now, Rob, let's talk about you and some of your skills and talents that has held you together on this journey.
Well, some of my skills, well, when I was in middle school, I was trying to always find ways to make a little extra money. So what I did was I started cutting hair. I realized I didn't like going to the barber like that because I said, man, all this money I'm spending, I decided just to go ahead and buy the clippers and start doing it myself. And believe, I did go to school a couple of times with some haircuts that I really hope nobody took any pictures of. because I looked ridiculous. But until I finally got it together and I realized I was nice with it, I actually started having some friends come over. That's when I was doing my music, because I was always into music, like I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
And I used to record a lot of local acts and everything, like when you had the talent shows or when people going out doing their little shows. They'll do the recording at my house. I'll set it all up, mix and everything for them. And then while I was sitting there, one of my friends, he didn't get a chance to go to the barbershop, so he said, "Yo, Rob, I'm going to try you out. Let me see how you do." So I'm like, all right, cool. So I cut him up. And after he's finished, he was like, "Yo, man, you did a nice job." So he went and did his thing. When he went to school the very next day, everybody asked him where to get the haircut at. And after that, I just established two businesses at the same time, doing my music and doing the haircut. And as the time progressed, you know, I got into all my issues and everything else. And that's when I had a chance to finally go ahead and write this book, Falling Isn't Failing.
Wonderful, 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 wonderful. What a story. Persistent. You keep doing it. Keep doing it. Until you get it close to what you want it to be.
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing? Before I go to your dad, tell us about Falling Is Not Failing. Tell us about it.
Falling Isn't Failing it talks about some of the obstacles and things that I faced growing up,
mm-hmm.
Inside and outside of school. And
mm-hmm.
it teaches you about choices and consequences, leadership, entrepreneurship. It teaches you about, you know, how to get out of obstacles, and it's broken into parts. The first part speaks a little bit of what I've been through. The
mm-hmm.
next part talks about the five keys, how to develop your mind and how you should be thinking, the things you should be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my keys, is
mm-hmm.
to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of those things, it speaks about that. And another part is that it has my goal achievement chart, which teaches you how to set and achieve goals. So
beautiful.
It has a lot of things in it so that you can learn exactly what you need to do when you're faced with obstacles and what you need when you're going through life.
Mm-hmm. How did you choose the topic?
How did I choose the topic? Well,
I'm sorry, the title for the book.
The title for the book? Well, actually, my father came up with the title, and he came up with the title because he said to me that, you know, I've been through a lot of situations. And the truth is, falling is what we call taking a misstep. But
mm-hmm.
but I was never failing because you always have an opportunity to stand back up.
That's right. What is? That's you falling or you get up. It's either you falling or you getting up. But you shouldn't stay down. And that's what that is saying. Wonderful. Let me go. Do you have anything else you want to say right now before I switch over to Robert?
No.
Okay. Robert, let's talk about your book, Child Support Is More Than Money, or I think I messed the name up.
No, you got it correct. Child Support Is More Than Money.
Okay, yes. Go. Tell us about that topic.
Okay, well, you know, child support is more than money. You know the saying, out of the mouths of babes.
Yep.
You know, that children, and there's other saying, children say the darndest things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that book, Child Support Is More Than Money, is a book that came to me because of the young man who's on the phone with us.
Right,
my
right.
son, Robert.
Right.
Because I woke up, you know, you get that inspiration. I don't know about some people. I get inspiration in two places. One place is in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm showering, and my spirit man, I call it my spirit man. That's when God is speaking with me through my spirit,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and that's when I'm able to get clarity,
mm-hmm.
and I'm able to get this sense of power and wisdom that comes in the shower,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, that's how I wrote my first book, from that conversation in the shower,
mm-hmm.
and so in this case. This book came from my second place of inspiration. The first book came in the shower. This book came at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and the idea hits you and you got to jump out of bed and you don't know what hit you, but
mm-hmm.
you get out of bed and it's almost like a pen magically appears in your hand and a pad.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how you got them in there, and that's what happened, and I started writing. I got up at 4 a.m. and I started writing, and the first thing I wrote down on that piece of paper, at the head of that paper, was what my son Robert said to me at 10 years old. And this was 18 months ago, 2 years ago from now, so that's when he said it to me then. he was 10 years old, and what he said to me is, when I called him one day, the first thing he said is, what are you going to be, a phone dad? And I was separated from his mother, and we were 800 miles, and he asked me, what are you going to be, a phone dad?
My God, 10 years old.
10 years old. And when he said it then, I responded to him, but I sort of dismissed the whole conversation and moved on from there. But here it was, you know, probably 8-9 years later. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, Robert's words are resonating in my mind. What are you going to be, a phone dad? So I jump up and I write them down. And that was the beginning of this book, Child Support is More Than Money. At that moment, at that sitting, I wrote about 5 pages by hand, beginning with that statement that Robert said.
Robert, a couple of weeks ago, I had a father and son in my car. The son is about, I think he's probably 6 or something like that. And his father has a daughter with another lady, right? And
right.
He said, Daddy. And his father said, yes, and by his first name. And he called the name of the sister. He asked the father, is she my sister? And the father said, yes, she's your sister. Use his first name. You know she's your sister. He says, but how do you know she's my sister? And the father says, because I'm her daddy. And he asked the father, how do you know that you are her daddy? So with that being said, that was the last thing that was asked. I guess it hit the father. He did not reply. I don't know if he replied when he got home. But in the car, he didn't say anything. So we never know what's going on in the minds of children. You know? This time, I want to ask Rob a question. Rob, do you recall that conversation with your daddy?
Yes.
What... That day when you ask him, can you recall, and you probably won't, but if you can, what was going on in your mind while you asked him if he was going to be a phone daddy?
Well, I could give you an idea. What I was thinking was that, you know, it wasn't going to be waking up in the morning seeing my father being able to go places and kick it, have somebody right there to talk to. Now it's going to be all phone conversation. And, you know, being young and, you know, wanting a father in my life, you know, I asked him, I said, you know, are you going to be a phone dad?
Oh, my God. Wow. 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 There's lessons to be learned every day in our lives. And if you're just joining the conversation, I'm blessed to have a father and son team in conversation this morning, Robert Roots and Rob Roots. So if you are near a phone calling, guys, this is your opportunity to ask them a question. The number is 646-915-8166. Let me just take a commercial break and I will be right back.
SuperFastLinkBuilding.com. The biggest challenge for business owners and entrepreneurs like you is getting your site to show up on the first page of a Google search. It's been reported that Google often changes their search reporting methods multiple times in the same day. That's why you can't use just any search optimization company. The SEO company that you choose has to think fast and move even faster. At SuperFastLinkBuilding.com, we've designed and developed a unique system to start positioning your site closer to the top. Our complex system of websites and blogs, along with our proprietary algorithms, are pushing our clients' sites to page one every day. Your site will never rise on its own. You've got to do something about it. Subscribe today. SuperFastLinkBuilding.com.
All right.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right, so come on, guys, pick the phone up, dial 646-915, and weigh in on this inspirational conversation. This is one of a kind. You don't always get it this good. So let me hear from you, please. Call in. The chat room is open. The phone lines are open and awaiting your participation. So let me continue with Robert.
Yes.
What would you like to see in the future where you and your son, the partnership with you and your son goes?
Well, the future is one of those things that in my mind I see some great opportunity here, but you know, to talk about what the last thing was about was about this relationship between father and son, I think it's critical. And you mentioned just now that you said it's one of a kind, and that's one of the things that we would really like to see it become, where it's not so one of a kind, that we would like to be, at least for me, being the father in the team, I would like to be able to see us be able to mentor other fathers or even mothers, daughters, families, and how to grow together as a family. That the biggest thing that could happen for us isn't what happens with us. It's but what we do in the world is what we're able to inspire among others. So if all we ever do is to be able to do radio shows together and some speaking engagements and fellowship together as father and son and to grow, if that's all we get, then I'm happy. Because if that inspires other families to grow together, to number one, stop the cycles of divorce. Even if there is a divorce, the family is still a family. You know, just because my address is no longer the same as the addresses my children have, I'm still their father, they're still my family. Their mother is still my family because we share a family, we share children together. Mm-hmm. And so what I'd like to do is see that it becomes bigger than us,
mm-hmm.
that we somehow inspire other families.
Mm-hmm.
So from a social perspective, I would like to see on the big side us be able to inspire other families.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing more beautiful than being able. Now, it's a struggle. It's a struggle, I have to admit, when you're working with your child and your two are clashing. You know, it's not always easy to work together. He has his idea, I have my idea. But we learn how to negotiate the ideas. Sometimes his idea is better than my idea. So I have to be willing to be humble enough to realize that sometimes he knows then we have to go his route.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he has to be humble enough to say, okay, Dad, I'm going to accept your wisdom, your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe there's a road right down the middle where we have to come together and say, okay, we're going to try both.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things.
I want to ask you to stick up in there because you said something that I don't want it to go by without addressing it. And 2 points, so jot down what your continuation was going to be. Two points I want to bring out here, and it's to tell you that your answer to me is what I was looking for, and I want to thank you for that, for not being selfish, and to want to see what you are doing snowball, because there are many in the world that can learn from this model that you have here. So keep it close and keep building on it. The next point is about clashing and working. Any partnership is like that. It's not only with your children. However, The one thing I can always remind both of you about and to keep in the forefront of your mind is to remove ego out of the equation. Because ego is what causes clash. I tell you, we have to respect all the skills and talents that the young folks come with. And a lot of times, we the older folks, we are so set in our ways, and we don't want to let go. But we have to compromise and agree not to disagree in the inside. And as you say, Robert, to find the middle ground in which both ideas can work. So I want to commend you on that. We have 19 minutes remaining in this episode, in the first segment of this episode, rather. And we are going to continue our dialogue until the next guest call in. But I want to give you, Robert, the opportunity to finish your thought that I just cut you off on, and then I'm going to go to Rob.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, And yes, I agree with you that compromise is critical, and that we have to take the ego out of the way. And that's one of the beautiful things about this is that as we're, you know, growing our businesses and we're able to take this path as entrepreneurs, we're also learning. We're learning a lot about ourselves. We're learning a lot about, you know, in my case, I learned a lot about my son. It's the stuff I learned about my son that I would not have had the blessing to learn about him because he would have been on the job working for somebody else.
Right.
And so, you know, what we're able to do is we're able to come together and we're able to have the benefits of two generations.
Beautiful.
And that's the reason why companies like to hire young people because they
that's
want
right.
their youth.
Hey, they
we
got
have
the
youth.
Going on.
Exactly.
They got it going on. So, Rob, what do you see the future holds for you and the old man?
Well, the future I see is basically the same thing, working together, empowering other families and other youth and young adults and growing a business for not only ourselves, but helping other people do the same.
Mm-hmm. 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 What are some of the things that your friends say about you, Rob, when they see the drastic turn that you have made and the amazing things that you are doing? What are they saying?
I mean, a lot of my friends, you know, what they're saying is that, you know, they see a lot of improvement. They see that, you know, what we're coming to do, and what they want to know is how can they do the same. So I guess,
beautiful.
You know, I'm helping other people.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We have 16 minutes remaining. I want to give Rob an opportunity to do a closing conversation. What do you want to leave the listeners with? What do you want to tell the young people that is listening to this conversation today, Rob? What do you want to leave them with? Tell them that, and then I want you to give your information out how people can get in touch with you at the end.
Okay, what I want to tell the young people today is that, you know, whatever you want in life, you got to be willing to put in the effort, and you got to be willing to take the falls and all the problems and everything that come with it. You got to be able to accept it, want to handle the obstacles and want to find out how to do it and not give up. Because at the end of the day, life is going to go on, and you don't want to find out at the last moment that it's going to take you a little longer to change it. Because, you know, falling isn't failing, and that whatever you get into now, you can always find a way out of it. My information, if you want to know more about my book, Falling Isn't Failing, you can visit my website. It's www.robroots.com. Also, I have my music on there, so if you rap, sing, or if you're looking to do features, anything, collabos, my music is up there, my beats. I'm going to have some songs up there soon. And my book is also up there, Falling Isn't Failing. And you can also check out my free training and some of my reports by if you sign in to my opt-in. Thanks again for having me on the show, Ms. Daphne.
All right. You are very welcome, and I pray for your continued success. And, you know, look forward to having you back on the show, reading some of your material and listening to the amazing work that you are doing. There is no stopping you unless you decide that you want to stop. I pray for your continued success and blessing. And now, with 14 minutes remaining, Rob, if something else comes to your mind and you want to say it, so don't hang up, stay there. We don't know if anybody's going to call in to say anything, but let me go to Robert. Robert, what's your closing thoughts? What are the high points you want to leave for the listeners today? And after you do that, would you please give your contact information out as well?
Okay, well, one of the things I want to leave with them is that there is an opportunity that we all have to take control of our lives. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from, that you have the power to change your reality.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you were born in the story of projects like I was, whether you were born in, you know, if you come from another country and you're here in the United States, or if you're in your own country and you want to see change in your own life, then you have the power to do so, that we're not powerless, that we that if somebody else has done it, we can do it. And if nobody else has done it, so let us be the first one to do it, because we have our gifts, and whatever you want, there's always a way to make it happen, especially with technology today.
Mm-hmm.
We have access to internet. We have access to people. You know, we have access to information that is life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no better time in the history of man than today, because of how far we've come along with technology.
That's right.
And how far we've come along as a people, because now we're able to do business all over the world.
That's right.
And the whole idea of our skin color being a barrier is a fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
It's no barrier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of our accents being a little different. You have a Caribbean accent. You know,
I have a New
York.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
I have a New York. Oh, I know. I have the New York thing. You know, that difference is what people like. People want something different. You know, you hear people speak from England, and we're excited when we hear them. And so what I'm saying to you is that, in closing, I want to say that my son's challenges are the things that would create the opportunity for him.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
You know, we have, you know, and you know, there's that saying in Chinese that crisis equals opportunity. You have to be able to use these crises and turn them into opportunity. And something that I picked up listening on television was, they said, never waste a problem.
Mm.
But within a problem in itself is something that you can use to better yourself or to better others. And that's what my son has done with his book, Falling Isn't Failing.
Right.
See, Falling Isn't Failing isn't just for young people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a book that parents need to read.
That's
because
right.
They need to understand what's going on inside the minds of their teens.
Mm-hmm.
Because parents don't really know what's going on with their young people.
Yeah, because we don't take the time to talk to them. Yep.
Right. And even if you take the time to talk to them, what I've learned is that sometimes the communication barrier exists because our children don't always want to tell us the whole story.
That's right now. That's right.
Because sometimes we can't handle the truth.
Amen.
You know,
no,
that saying,
hey.
You can't handle the truth. And so we can't handle the truth. So sometimes they tell us stuff, but we don't want to believe them because they say, no, that can't be true.
That's right.
You're just making that up. But
mm-hmm.
but one of the ways they can do is read my son's book. I would advise for every parent and teachers,
mm-hmm.
educators, people who are involved with youth, people who care about youth, to get his book, because then they're able to understand the minds of what's going on. Also, there's great information in there. It's a great book for reflecting on your own life. And you realize that even though there may be years separating you and my son, the basic experience is still the same.
That's right.
for all human beings, whether you were born in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, the 90s, or the year 2011, what connects us all is that human spirit.
That's right.
And we all have the same basic need.
Universal principles doesn't change.
Exactly. Doesn't change. Right. And so, but what happens is the technology changes.
Exactly.
It changes the way the experience changes. And so we have to sometimes.
Our conversation this morning is a true illustration of that. One in Florida, one in Miami, one in Connecticut, and one is going to be joining us soon from Spain. So, I mean, come on. It doesn't get any better
than
that.
Right. And so what I was saying in closing is that Falling Isn't Failing is a phenomenal book that I think that everyone should listen to, should purchase, that's listening. I want to thank you for allowing me on this show because, you know, we connected, we communicated, and then we made it happen. You know, people should realize that you and I didn't plan this 6 months ago. This happened recently.
Yeah,
and so when you want something.
And although you and I have connected for a number of years on the internet, I think the first place we connected was Tag or something. Because I remember. Yeah, you're on Tag, right?
Yes, I am on Tag, but I'm on a lot of these things. I don't even know what I'm on anymore.
I know. And you and I have connected over and over. Yeah, but we have never talked about this. So I know this was something divinely organized to happen, you know?
Correct.
So I'm thankful that we are obedient to spirit and to just do what was needed.
Yes. Yes. And when you talk about spirit, that's what I was talking about earlier, that my spirit man spoke to me when I was in the shower. And that's where my other book came from, which was originally titled Prepare for the Wolf, which is based on the Three Little Pigs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in its 10th anniversary. So I came out with its 10th anniversary edition in February. So now the new title of that book is Success Secrets from the Three Little Pigs.
Mm.
I'm blessed to have a friend, and I believe he's a mutual friend of yours, Les Brown.
Yes. You said that I know Les from when Les couldn't even afford to print the label for his little thing we used to put in the player. Not the 8-track. What do you call that one again?
His cassette. His cassette.
Yeah. I even forgot the name, the cassette. Yeah. I remember he used to come to New York over by Rochdale where we used to have the Mary Kay meetings.
Yes.
In the
80s. And he used to sell them with a rubber band around it. He used to have a rubber band holding them, holding the cassette.
I still have it, and I have it with the brown thing, Mamie Brown baby boy. And
exactly.
I look on Les right now. It's, you know, hey, we have come a long way, man.
Yes, and so Les gave me the foreword. Les and I have done a lot of stuff together. We're great friends, and we shared the platform together. We've done events together. We traveled together. And so Les provided the foreword for Success Secrets from the Three Little Pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And so he provided the foreword for that. The book is, so you talk about Mary Kay, the book has been purchased by Mary Kay, it's been purchased by Primerica Financial Services, by Auburn International, New York City Public Schools, Dade County Public Schools, colleges all over the country, all over the world.
You all better get me a copy from my library.
Absolutely. And then the book that came out that I'd mentioned earlier is Child Support is More Than Money.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that what inspired me to go ahead and finish Child Support is More Than Money was helping my son develop his product, Falling Isn't Failing.
Wow.
Because as we were going through the process, it reminded me of the fact that I still had a book that had come to me that I hadn't finished, which was the 4 a.m. The 4 a.m. product, what are you going to be a phone dad? And then also, because I was working with him, my relationship as a father evolved. I went from being the phone dad to being the hands-on dad with helping hands-on. And and it gave me a chance to be on all sides of this equation.
Wow.
And so Child Support is More Than Money is also my encouraging fathers to get actively involved, encouraging
yes.
mothers to allow that relationship to happen, to
that's
encourage
beautiful.
That relationship.
But I say this,
Dr. Daphne, with one quid pro quo, and that is that the father be a responsible, moral man of good character,
mm-hmm.
and that he's not an abuser, that he's
that's
not
right.
going to harm the family, because I'm not an advocate for anybody harming the family. I'm not
that's
only an
right.
advocate for a godly man loving the family and loving the children. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that a violent man, a man who's doing something wrong, or even mother, should have access to children, because children are our precious commodities, and we
exactly.
need to protect them, even sometimes from their own parents.
Exactly. That's powerful there. Give out your contact information, and seeing that we have 4 minutes, and plus I'm waiting on my other guests to call in. I want to bring Rob back on after you give your information to see if he has anything else to say. And I want to thank you both for coming on and really investing in my listeners. And I hope you'll have time to listen to my new guest, my next guest out of Spain. So,
yes.
Robert, please give your information.
Okay, my website is robertroots.com, robertroots.com, robertroots.com. And on Facebook, I can also be connected at... just search for Robert Roots on Facebook. It's Facebook/Robert Roots. I'm not as fancy as the Twitter people. I set up a Twitter account. Don't know how to use it yet. But my fiance, she is going to help me to learn how to use Twitter, because she understands it. I don't understand it. And, and my son understands. Yes. And so that's how, or you can explain it to me, see? So that's what we need to do. So, so again, thanks, and I'll allow my son to go ahead and take over now. But thank
all
you
right.
for allowing
yes,
us to be
you.
Here today.
Thank you. Rob, you have anything else you want to add, my brother?
The only thing I can say is, like my father, you know, the best way to impact families, you know, in communities, to impact the families and help the youth to do what they need to do. So, you know, check out his book. Success Secrets. Oh man, well, Prepare for the Wolf, and Child Support is More Than Money, and then also check out Falling Isn't Failing. And thanks again for having me on the show.
You are welcome, and I look forward to getting you all books so I can put them in my library and read them and everything. It was such an honor. I hope you guys can listen, and I want you please connect with me on Twitter, on Facebook. I have different pages on Facebook. And I also want to ask you both gentlemen to stop by the show page, write a comment on the page about the conversation this morning. Point others to the show to listen so we can get to become a household name across the world. I commend you on the work that you are doing. I encourage you to keep going forward. And if you can even convert one parent per month, your work would have been worth it. Don't give up. Don't look on the large numbers who are not learning. Just one step at a time. Remember, we can all eat an elephant, but we can only do it by doing it one bite at a time, one bite at a time. It was an honor for me to be in this conversation with you. I pray that you had as much fun and enjoyment as I did, and I look forward to having you guys back again, and I'll be watching you and the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you, because it's certainly been a joy to me and a pleasure and an honor and to be a part of it as well. And I know that you could have had anybody on your show, that this is a blessing that you have given us. And so thank you from my family to yours. And really, I do look forward to us doing things together in the future.
Thank you so very much, Robert, and thank you, Rob, and stay connected, man. Hook up with me on Facebook and all the other place here.
Okay.
All right. What a powerful conversation this was with the father and son team, one out of Atlanta, the other out of Florida. Just phenomenal stories about the work that they are looking. Check their information out. Check them out. Pick their books up and use it to reinvent your life. No one deserves to stay where they are suffering. You can decide to make a difference in your life. The choice is yours, but you have to take action. Don't sit around and mourn and complain about what you don't have. Get up and do something. Get up and take an action now. You have it right there. You heard from them. They are making a difference in your life. So stay tuned. And in the meantime, I am going to encourage you to check out my books, Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude, and pick it up, and also Conversation on Success. And I think I have my guest on the line.
Yes.
Hello, Lila. How are you?
Hello, Daphne.
How are you?
How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm wonderful, and I'm so honored. I don't know whether or not you were listening to my two first guests. I had a father and son team on, and we had a powerful, powerful conversation. So I'm so super excited and charged about having you on. And thank you for your willingness to come on and just share from an authentic place.
Thank you very much, Daphne. And I thank you, too, for offering me the space to share.
Yes, yes. Now, let us talk about who you are and where you came from. So just give us your introduction about the early beginnings.
Okay. My early beginnings happened in my home country, the land of Cleopatra, Egypt. It's a land of a lot of magic and wisdom and very special gifts. But right now, it also had the oppression of women, which is basically what I grew up with. I would say that this is happening also in many different other areas of the world, but in different ways. So in the Middle East, and the oppression of women is quite noticeable on the social level. And it doesn't matter the religion you are in, Christian or Muslim, it's a cultural thing. It has become a cultural conditioning and a cultural attitude.
Lila, yes. let's go back to your childhood, because at what age you realized that something was taking place in your culture that you were not comfortable embracing?
Okay, it starts at the age of 17, 18, because you are, in that culture, it is very important to get married quickly. And it's very important to get married a virgin. So at the age of 17, 18, they already start having all this energy at home about when you're going to be 21, when you're going to be 22, we have to look for a guy for you, or you have to start focusing on who you're going to marry. And it is at that age that I all of a sudden started asking myself. And I come from a Christian family, and in Christian religion, up till now, basically, divorce is kind of like out of the question. Basically, you can separate, but you can never marry again in the church.
Right.
And I was brought up with these values, and all of a sudden, I started thinking, okay, what if I find somebody or they find somebody for me, But this guy is somebody I cannot, I do not like. I do not feel a physical connection with. I do not like his smell. I started thinking of very simple things girls would think of. Like, I mean, what if I don't like his skin? What if I don't like the way he talks or the way he smells? I'm going to be stuck with this person for the rest of my life. What a horror, you know?
So, let me ask you something, Leela. As an Egyptian girl, you are not allowed to date?
No, you're not allowed to date because dating is considered something bad for your reputation because you're seen with different guys, and that means, and seen with different guys, if you think about it on a deeper level, means you're going to have the power of choice.
And
a society that is trying to maintain the man in power and at the same time talking to girls as they have to be the ones who submit to this, the out of fear of their reputation. I did not think of all this, to tell the truth. The only thing I thought of was I'm going to be stuck. I could be stuck for the rest of my life with somebody that I don't even know who he is.
Right.
And that idea on its own led me to a revolution.
So did you keep these thoughts to yourself or you shared them with your parents?
I could not share them with my parents because my parents are trying to get me a husband or make me start focusing on a husband. But every time they try to impose the idea on me, I would start saying things that went into the direction of let me at least make my own choice.
Don't
push me into you looking for somebody for me.
And how did they receive this, Leela?
Well, they did not receive it very well, especially my mother. I have to say that my mother suffered a lot because I was the way I was. But somehow, that was the way I was. It was also very clear for me that I was not going to sacrifice my life for anybody, even if it was for my mother. And, you know, in our society, pleasing the mother and be obedient to the mother is of great value.
So it
created guilt, for sure. Mm-hmm. And it created feelings that I had to deal with later on in my life. My treatment and psychotherapy and as a coach and being coached.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, that freedom was the most important thing I have to pursue.
Mm-hmm. Are you an only child, Leela?
No, I have a sister who is the total opposite. She's very Catholic. She's very in the church. She's very, I mean, everything that has to be done, what the church says, how she has to have married. And I mean, it's like, you know, everybody asked me, how did you come to think like this? I don't know. The only thing I could say is something that was happening inside of me.
So your sister...
It was intuitive, and it was inner guidance.
Right.
And I trusted and believed in this as the only thing I had to tell me the truth about how I had to do, how I had to live, and what I had to do.
Wow. So your sister got involved in an arranged marriage?
She found her own boyfriend, but
okay.
They followed the rules of the game. Like, you know, they met, they did not have the sex until they got married. They married in the church.
Well, that's good. So what's the relationship now with you and your family in Egypt?
My family in Egypt, once I did what I did and they came to realize that what I was doing had a deep meaning for me and it was not only meant in order for me to go out to the discotheque and flirt and be like this, but I was really into a deep personal independence as a woman. Because I followed the freedom of sex, of sexual life, with a freedom of financial independence. I realized that I could not be truly independent unless I was also independent financially.
Wonderful. So it's a total balance. That's a total balance. Wonderful. I want the listeners to know that you no longer live in Egypt. You now live in Spain. How long are you not living in your home country?
It's been 24 years. I left when I was 13. Now I'm 54, and I left when I and so it's been 24 years.
Beautiful, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Do you have any regrets about those early choices that you make, not following the norms of your culture and your religion?
Not at all. I have been blessed of taking the most important decisions of my life based on my inner guidance. I never regretted any of them, and especially the early ones. The only thing I regret, and it's not actually a regret, it's like looking behind and with the wisdom and experience I have now, I would have done it in a gentler way.
Yes, that's all right. You would still do it, but you would let it down a little softer.
Yes, because I really went for it, like, you know, like a big revolutionary fire, and that fire also burned a little bit of me. So I would do it in a gentler way.
That's all right. Well, let's fast forward. Let's look at the woman that has now evolved out of that early turmoil and everything that was happening. Let's talk about who you have become.
Well, you see, because I did what I did, I was infused with the power of being able to do what I decide I want to do and what I choose to do. And at the age of 30, I decided to leave Egypt. I had quite a bit of money in my pocket because I did not want to leave my country, and again I say, to clarify this for the listeners, I left after I've achieved everything that a woman of my status could achieve in a country like Egypt. I did not leave to have more freedom. I did not leave to have more money. I did not leave to have more status. I had everything that is considered socially a success.
Mm-hmm.
But I left because I needed to expand beyond who I was.
The horizon needed to be widened. You needed to widen the horizon of your life.
Exactly. I needed to widen the horizon of my life. And mm-hmm. I knew perfectly well that in order for me to do that, I should not be spending on survival.
Wow.
Because if I was spending on survival, I was going to be trapped into how am I going to create money in order for me to live. But this idea was not very feasible because that was not the aim. The aim was not to leave Egypt. The aim was to find myself.
Wow. Wow. That is powerful. That is powerful.
Yes.
This is such an investment that not only women can learn from, but men as well.
Exactly. It's like the base, what's keeping us, and this is what most basically coaches we are doing right now, this is our mission in the life, is to make people focus on what they choose and have the determination to go for it and be able to commit and pay the price. And then there is no way you're not going to get it.
Wow. You know, Leela, you spoke about an understanding of intuition from earlier on in your life. What role does intuition play in this amazing woman that has evolved?
It's still there. I mean, the most important decisions in my life come from an inner feeling that sets me on a specific direction. And then I start investigating what is coming up, and I start looking closely and honestly and sincerely at all my resistance at it. Like leaving Egypt when you have a very high social status, when you've achieved personal success, when you've achieved sexual liberation and financial liberation, and living with a foreign community full of very important people in the country. And it's not an easy decision to take, to just go to the void, not knowing where you're going to go, what is going to happen to you, just because you're looking for something that is so abstract, intangible, like yourself. At the age of 31, you don't even know what that means, you know? And then do the same thing again at the age of 50, when I realized that as a psychotherapist, I still had some more potential that needed to be explored, and that was an area of my life that was totally out of balance, which is the area of my personal life. Like, I mean, I achieved success again, and I achieved money again, and I achieved professional identity again, but my personal life was miserable.
Let's talk about what that looked like and felt like for you at that time. But before you answer that question, did you ever get married?
No, I didn't get married, and I didn't make kids, because I also realized that that was not my path.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what that was like for you. I remember in our pre-show conversation, you talk about there you were as a psychotherapist, helping people to get their lives and their careers together. Yet, at the end of the day, you came to the realization that your life was in shambles. So let's talk about that and what that felt like and looked like at that particular moment.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I answered what you asked me about intuition. Did I leave it clear?
Yeah, but if you have more to add, Leela, you can add. We still have time.
Okay. I just wanted to say that the intuition is something you feel inside, and sometimes it can strike us as challenging or as different or as fearful. But if you give yourself time, as I gave myself time, to ponder on it, to examine it, and to listen to my heart, I found that these intuitions were real callings that needed to get less, but I also respected my process of letting go of whatever was at hand in order to move forward when the decision is very important.
Right. So we have to, and I know we all have those intuition, but a lot of us go off on the wrong path because we don't stay true to that intuition and we don't follow. Instead, we give more credibility to other folks who really don't know about what we ought to be doing.
Yeah, and definitely the worst of that is that only we give way to our fears, because our minds start telling, oh, how come? Are you going to leave all this? You're going again? Now you're 50. You're going to leave your job again. You're going to leave your security again after all you've constructed here, and it took you so long and so much pain. How are you going to do this?
Yep.
But if I
stay here with
the call.
Trust me. I relate to you. I hear that every day at my age. Because everybody always think that they know what's best for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think they really mean hurt, because they love us so much and they don't want to see us hurt. And that's why they try to protect us. It's just like we do with our children, for those of us who have the children.
Yeah, exactly.
So you decide as a thriving psychotherapist, a successful practice, you were going to do something. And what did you do?
I decided I had to go on a personal inner healing trip, because I got sick with my uterus, and I always walk my talk, and if my uterus was getting sick, it meant that something that had to do with my femininity that was not clear. That needed to be healed.
Right.
And if I add this to the fact that I was feeling that my cycle as a psychotherapist was to be ending, and I didn't know what was next step. I decided, okay, I'm going to take a healing trip, and there are two things that are sure. I need to heal my uterus, which is something that has to do with my femininity, and I have to find a partner. Because I am a person whose main purpose in life is sharing and connectedness. And I was sharing with my clients and my patients, but I was not sharing in the intimacy of my being. And I was not sharing on a personal level, which is a completely different ground.
So when you shared this with colleagues and other people that you were going to go on this healing trip, they thought you had lost your mind. Did they try to take you into the mental ward or something?
Yes. People told me, Laila, you don't need to do this in this drastic way. You can remain as a psychotherapist. You can work less. You do not need to leave everything behind you've built. We're going to meet you here and there. And think about it again, and this is not very wise, and where are you going to go? And we also, a lot of us are professionals, and we don't have a man in our lives, so what's the big deal? We put all our energy in our work and all that stuff, you know?
And the song goes on and on and on and on. I can know you've heard this song so much, you know it, huh?
Yes.
The rhythm.
And I know that lots of women who are singles and are working are resonating with this. It's just like, you know, you keep on living and you say, okay, and then sometimes I used to make trips and I used to come back from my trips having met people who don't have work, who cannot do what they want, who sometimes are struggling to pay the rent, and I come back home and I say, but Laila, what are you complaining of? Your life is perfect. Feel gratitude. And stay quiet.
Lila, you are something. You're a ball of fire. You are something else. Listen, if you are just joining me, I am in conversation with Yula Youssef out of Spain. And call in, guys, and ask a question, 646-915-8166. If you're one of those women that's out there, you don't have a mate and you're lonely and all of that stuff, listen, call and pick Leela's brains. And so you can hang up and probably go out there and find you a mate today. So, Leela, so how is life in Spain, both on a personal level and as an entrepreneurial level? How is it?
It's very nice because my personal healing ended up with finding the man of my life I have a very mature relationship.
You're going to have to help a sister out.
Yeah, I mean, I decided actually that this was going to be my coaching niche because it's very clear now what women need to change about themselves and about the way they date and about the way they behave and about the emotional code they carry inside in order for them to find the man they want.
Ah, so I might be coming to Spain at a wedding or something?
I know, who knows, yes. You can come, you can come because we're married every day.
Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, Leela, you are such a fun... Listen, I know you sent me a YouTube video, and I know you were presenting a program to Congress, but because it was not in English, I really don't know what it was about. Would you like to talk about what that was about?
Okay, I'm going to do some, I decided to put some subtitles on it, but meanwhile I'll tell you in English so everybody can have access to it and see it. And it was a Congress about alternative education. There is a movement in Spain, like I believe everywhere else in the world. They are trying to create alternative education, an alternative way of handling kids at school. Instead of being recipients of knowledge and technique and information, to be treated as potential treasures of human beings who are... to be the leaders of our nations in the future, and that we need to take care of this part of them. And gender is a very important issue right now because of violence, gender violence.
Wonderful.
Not about America, but in Spain, it's a very big subject. And I was invited as a woman who is living in Spain, who is Egyptian, to express a little bit how I saw what needs to be done at school for girls.
Beautiful. That is powerful. That is powerful. All right. I want to go back to the topic of psychotherapy. Why do you think that is important in our lives, Leela?
What?
Psychotherapy. Because a lot of people resist that when they are told that they need to go for psychotherapy. They are resistant to it. But
okay.
What are the advantages?
Okay. Psychotherapy is for people who are suffering from special conditions of fears, insecurities, lethargy, depression, that is not allowing them to fulfill their life.
Right.
So there is obviously that. Yeah, I mean, I also want to put an emphasis on the difference between psychotherapy and coaching. Okay. So psychotherapy is for people who are hindered by any emotional mishap, any emotional blockage that is happening that is keeping them from doing their life in a balanced way, that is making them suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why people fear to change, fear to go to psychotherapy, is because people fear change.
That's right.
And I'm going to talk a little bit deeper about this. I'm going to explain something very deep. We are very accustomed in our habits, and we prefer to suffer than change. Because change means we have to let go of who we think we are, even if it is a suffering personality. What we don't know, and we always come to the excuse of money. I mean, I think people who tell me I cannot come because the money is so much, or I cannot come because I have to look at many painful situations, or I have to face certain issues that I fear facing. Let me tell you, facing the fear is not what you think it is. Like the way you imagine fear in your head is usually much bigger than the fear when you go through it.
That's right. That's right.
And also, it's a pity to live a life of suffering out of fear of changing when everybody has the possibility of blossoming into somebody else by dealing with that fear. Now, this is, if you are suffering and you are hindered, psychotherapy is good for you. And people resist it because they fear change. They fear changing their habits. They fear challenging themselves. They fear finding at the end that they are incapable, and this will bring them to be, I am a failure. But if you're really in the hands of somebody who knows you well, and you commit yourself to what you want to achieve, there is no way you are not going to make it. And if you don't trust whoever you are, put your hand in, look for somebody else, and if you want, you can call me.
You know, Leela, as a Christian woman myself, I've heard many conversations from other Christian women that psychotherapy is against God's will, and I've had very energetic debates with them about that topic, because I myself has pointed out to them that their fear is what they are putting in front of them. It's not their spiritual relationship. because God is the one who gives these insights to people to learn these things to help us work through all of those things that you just mentioned. And I'm in total agreement and affirming what you said, that it is the fear that holds people back from really getting the help that they want.
Daphne, I am very happy that you brought this point of Christian women not saying that psychotherapy is against the will of God, because Christianity, and I hope that they do not get angry at me, I am seeing things from a perspective where I am neutral and trying to look at things on a deep level. Christianity is based on Jesus on the cross. A big lot of it is based on Jesus on the cross suffering for us. Okay. I ask the question to these women or to people who are stuck in their suffering. Why is the cross and the suffering prevailing more than the resurrection? I'm going to speak in terms of Christianity. Crucifixion and resurrection. Why is the focus on the suffering and not on the conquering of death?
Are you finished?
Yeah, I just want to keep the question there.
And that happens when people are more connected to religion than their spirituality. Because
exactly.
When you understand your spirituality and how it connects to Jesus' suffering on the cross, you know that because of that price he paid, that's what gives you the know-how and the strength to conquer all. And I don't mean some, all.
Exactly.
And struggles that are thrown your way. Not
exactly.
Some. All. But there are people who plead the blood and they call on the cross, yet they are throwing up their hands as if they have not the will to do anything.
And also, they prefer not to take responsibility of their lives and take responsibility for their lives, and they prefer to say, it's Jesus' will. I do not believe that God wants us to suffer and that God wants us miserable in our lives and that God is suffering. I do not accept or buy into this.
He wants us. The God that I serve, that I know, that sent his son to die for me, want me to have a life of abundance and prosperity, unlimited potential. He is the God that want me to go any place and to succeed and not to hold my gender nor my color in front of that and say, well, it's because I'm X, Y, or Z why I cannot accomplish it. So I don't believe in all of that. Because he is my father and I claim and I own him, I can do all things, not some, all things. And that's what I intend to do. So there are a lot of people who are side-railed and blindsided by religion, and they have to understand where they want to go and the action choices and decisions that they need to take.
Exactly. And this is where coaching is fantastic, not psychotherapy.
That's right. That's right. So let's talk about the type of coaching that you do, Leela.
Well, what I do, because of this story of healing and finding the man I am living with right now and having been with him for the last 2.5 years and having established the basic principles that can create joy and continuous passion and continuous dialogue that creates more intimacy in the relationship, I decided that my niche was to help single women to get men. but to have men in a partnership, a long-lasting partnership.
What does that from the place you are? What does that look like? Long-standing partnership from the place that you are. Nobody else. What does that look like?
What do you mean? Sorry, I don't get your question.
You said that you are coaching women how to get men and be in a long-standing partnership.
Yes.
And I'm asking you, what does that look like? From you, because I think everybody would categorize it differently. For you, when you design that model, what does it look like?
The model of coaching, you mean, or the model of relationship?
The model of a long-standing relationship.
Okay. Yeah. So in order for you to have a long-standing relationship, you need to be very clear on three things. I'm creating a program right now that has the training is about these three components. And it's called Find Yourself, Find Your Partner. And there is the first component, find yourself. Lots of us women, and me included in the past, it's like we have this dream because of this social conditioning about finding this guy who's going to give me and do everything I need and want. In that model, that model that exists in our heads that tells 90% of the romances that women read, this guy has all the responsibility and has to find out everything about us without us taking any responsibility of our needs and about our personality and about expressing ourselves clearly. So that is number one. We have to be able to own ourselves. We have to be able to own our needs. We have to be able to express them. And we also have to realize that if I want this guy who is fantastic in everything, I have to be fantastic in everything. Because
Hallelujah.
I am not going to ask for somebody. Why would a guy who is fantastic be with somebody who is not fantastic?
So let me ask you something, Leela. So now, what I hear you saying, the women who are saying, but honey, don't you know what I need? I mean, they got to throw that out the door?
Exactly.
All right, so continue. What's your third thing?
So the first thing is you have to own this and you have to start becoming your best. And I call it the queenly process of empowerment.
The what?
The queenly process of empowerment. You have to become like a queen, you know?
You have to see your
power as a woman. You have to carry yourself with pride.
Wow. So, Leela, would you like to do a sample of what you just spoke about? Would you like to do a sample illustration with me now on the air?
Okay.
So, I am a client that... You're beginning to coach about this three-step process. So what? Take the mic.
Okay. So the first thing I will ask you is, can you please define yourself as a woman? Can you tell me what, if I am to ask you, who are you as a woman, as a female?
I am strong, assertive. I prize myself on operating from my authentic being. There is none like me, and there's only me. I make my choices, and I stand by them. That's who I am.
Okay. And that already sounds quite queenly. My following question to you, Daphne, is in which areas of your life do you feel you apply this more in your profession, in your mother role, or in your lover role? It's from 1 to 10, give me please, in business, as a mother, and as a wife.
What was the question you asked about it before you gave the Before you gave the questions, what I didn't hear what the question was.
Okay, you told me you are strong, assertive, authentic. You make your choices and take responsibility. And I am asking, can you tell me from 1 to 10 on the business level, how much of this apply? As a mother, how much of this apply? And as a lover, how much of this apply?
In my business, 90% apply. As a mother, 75, because my son lives in another country now. In my love life, intimacy is 0.
Oh, boy, 0. Okay, so if this is something I can ask online in front of all our listeners, why? What happens to you on the lover level?
Well, I got divorced in 1985, and have not dated or been in an intimate relationship since then. However, January of 2011, I attempted to get back in a relationship that I had earlier on in my life, in my early life. As a matter of fact, that was my first love. So we decided we were going to try again, and then he went home to be with the Lord.
Ah, boy. So, okay. So, basically, if I am hearing that you have not been able to find a man because you have not dated. So your focus is somewhere else.
That's right. That's right. That's
and
right.
If I see the percentages you've given me, I would say 90% of your attention is focused on your work.
Yes. So I have no balance.
Exactly. So the question is this something you would like to balance? Would you like to find more balance in your personal life?
Yes, of course, because that's essential, because as I listen to you walk me through this, these three things in my life are not separate. They are connected, and one depends totally on the other. So in order for me to have total balance in one area, I need to be experienced 95% or even 100% in all three areas. So, I want to thank you, Leela, for playing with me, because what you have pointed out here is so true and vital in our lives. So thank you for playing.
You're welcome.
There are 17 minutes remaining in this segment. How would you like to summarize our conversation?
Well, would you like to open the line to see if some of our listeners have questions?
Okay, the line is already open. No one has called. The line is open, 646-915-8166. People can call in whenever their heart desires, but no one has called in yet.
Okay.
So we'll continue the conversation, and when they call in, I will put them live on the air.
Okay. So I was saying that the first part is being queen, being your queenly attributes, and you behave and feel yourself as a queen.
Yeah.
The second part of the program is we have to master something called the inner game of dating.
Inner game of dating.
Yeah. In this particular part of the program, we learn about the patterns of men we have attracted, and we understand why we have attracted this type of men, and we learn what in us attracts this type of men, and how we can disactivate this in order for us to attract men from another place. And the new place I suggest is a place that is connected with our genuine nature and with our needs. as a female, we have to own our needs.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Leela? I definitely will need to have you back on a Sunday. On a Sunday segment, we do life issues.
Okay.
And I'm going to have you back one Sunday evening. I don't know whether or not, with you being in Spain, whether at 7 p.m. at night would be a good time for you. But I want to have you back to talk about relationships.
Okay.
Because I think that's an important conversation.
Yeah. I agree, and thank you.
Yeah. We have 14 minutes remaining here, but I want to encourage the callers to call in 646-915-8166. But I want to give you an opportunity, Leela, to just share with us. You mentioned that when you left Egypt, you didn't leave empty-handed. You made sure you were established and you left with security. You know, how would you define that? How did you decide to do that? And what did you do exactly?
Okay, so this takes us back to something that I was talking about before, which has to do with how you focus your mind and you set yourself on a specific goal. What I mean by that is, it actually happened by itself. I wanted to leave Egypt, and I did not have the means to leave because I was trying to get a work permit or somebody to give me a contract, work for a contract.
Right.
And
right.
For many years, it did not work, even though I knew a lot of foreigners, I knew a lot of owners of companies, but none of them would really venture into doing this because it implies also a lot of money for them, social security, papers, and all this. So, for other reasons of life, and my life is full of very incredible stories, I found myself working as a tour leader for TWA Getaway Vacation Tours.
Yeah.
Which at the time was the biggest travel agency in Egypt.
Right.
I started making money in dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized all of a sudden, after a few years, 2 or 3 years, that if I put money aside and I have quite a big cushion of money,
right.
I had the guts and I had the courage to leave Egypt on my own without a contract or anything, and that I was going to find my way to be legal in any country and get myself a job if I did not have to worry about security. And again, that was an intuition. That was something I saw clearly that this was the way I needed to do it in order for me to stay focused on the important thing. The important thing was to find me, was not to, as I said, leave Egypt or make money or get a job.
Mm-hmm. So, Leela,
I started saving money from this work, and when I reached a sum, I decided that enough is enough. And again, in that moment, you have the trap of money and saying, okay, why don't you make a little bit more? Why don't you stay in the job a little bit? You don't know when you're going to make money again. You know,
right.
The money trap is very important and very big.
So, Leela, for that young woman who is listening to our conversation now and is probably faced with some of the same things that you were faced with when you were in Egypt, what would you tell her that will bring a ray of hope in her life? I want you to say that, and then I want you to give your information out, how people can get in touch with you.
Okay. So, to any woman who does not feel happy and satisfied either in her relationship or in her status of being single, I would tell her, commit to that part of you. Commit to finding balance and finding satisfaction and finding joy in your non-existent relationship or your already existing relationship. because then it's very important for every woman to blossom. I did not meet one single professional woman who in the intimacy of her bed does not feel herself incomplete or unfulfilled because her female side is not full.
Mm.
So I encourage each one of the listeners or whoever will hear this in the recording later to really commit, and it's worth it, and have the guts and the courage to really not let the years go by, but to look for this part of themselves, to try to fulfill that part of themselves. And their business, their work, their money, their life, their health, their hearts are going to bloom, because we all have things to heal as women.
Yes.
And right now, we are leading the world in its healing, and we need to be healed ourselves.
Yes.
And part of
yes.
the healing takes place in the relationship, in the intimacy. The intimacy is important for the healing of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's only in the intimacy of the heart that we know how much we can trust, how much we can open up, and how much we can share with someone else.
Yes,
that
I'm trust.
That is the true test of mm-hmm. our spirituality,
mm-hmm.
according
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm. Because transparency is very important to healing.
Exactly.
And because people don't trust and they don't love people, they don't want to open up because they don't want their business to be all over the telephone after they finish. So it's a long way we have to go as women. And that's why the work that you do, Leela, is so important.
Thank you. Thank you. And I really encourage everyone.
What did you say? Leela? Oh, I think we lost her. I hope she called back. Leela, are you there? I think we lost her. I hope she calls back in. We lost her. I hope she calls back in and be able to give her information out about how to get in touch with her. That was my guest, Leela Youssef out of Spain. An Egyptian woman who decided that she wanted to make a difference in other ways, and she wanted to heal herself and to help other women heal. We still have 7 minutes, and I pray that Leela calls back so she can give her information out to you, my listeners, and how we had, I think today's show was really impacting with information with the father and son team, Robert and Rob Roots, Junior and Senior, and then my guest Leela Youssef out of Spain. I pray that she calls back. We're going to go down to the wire and see if she calls back. In the meantime, I encourage you to check out DaphneClarkHudson.com and pick up a copy of my book, Conversation and Success, as well as Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. And I'm in the process, I'm writing some more books, and we are going to have them out on, we have a caller. Good morning, caller.
Daphne, it's Leela. The line got cut off, so I'm calling
okay,
you again.
Okay, Leela, I am so glad you called back, my sister. Go ahead and give your information how people can contact you.
Okay, I still don't have an online presence. I mean, I'm building up a website, and it's called...
Well, you
with
have
my...
one now. You have one now, girl. You're on the line with me.
Well, okay, I have the phone number. It's 0034... 956-68-7704. And I do have an email, ask Leela now, leila@gmail.com, and Leila is L-E-I-L-A.
Okay, so the phone number is 0349-5668-7701.
04.
And askleila@gmail.com.
Ask Leila now.
askleila@gmail.com. And you are on Facebook?
Yeah, but it's not, I am on Facebook. It's called The Power of the Feminine.
The Power of the Feminine on Facebook. And hey, you say you didn't have a website.
I'm building it, and it's going to have my name.
You don't have a website, but that's all right. You are getting there. I'm honored to know you, and I'm thankful that you took time to invest in my listeners and I. Let's stay connected. We don't know what is in store, but I pray for your continued success, and I would love to have you back on to talk about relationships on a Sunday show.
Okay, that is great, Daphne.
All right, so two last words for you before you go.
Commit to yourself and to your happiness. It's worth it as a female.
That's right. So thank you, Leila. I'll just go right now. What a fantastic conversation this was. I'm glad that we connected. I want to remind everybody that they are called for a destiny. And you listen to a lady who followed her intuition and now is capitalizing on that which she was called to be and to do. I see you again on Sunday evening right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, the Queen of the Empowered Soul, also known as Dynamic Daphne, saying so long and stay true to your destiny.
I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you. for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for.